Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, God bless you. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. I'm excited to be here with you for the overflow. This week's Torah portion required us to kind of spill over into the next day. It was just really so good to us yesterday. That word just kind of kept filling us and kept filling us until our cups were just running over. I'm excited about this word. Our overflow is from Parashat Akremot, and that means after the death. And we came out of Leviticus 16 through 18, all the way to verse 30. In that chapter 18, and it's just been an amazing, amazing time. We did definitely read all of the passages yesterday. I did share that I wanted to, we're going to probably go back and look at a couple of things in Metzora, which was our parashat for the other week, and we kind of doubled up the other week, and we didn't have to because we're not in a leap year, but we doubled up, and so we wound up doing that Metzora, the leper, several days, because we had a technical difficulty. So we kind of already ahead of the game. But we're just excited about this word that the Father has for us to share today. And I want you to go ahead and get your Bibles, get your pen and paper, and go ahead and get yourself prepared to receive this thing that the Father desires to release to us. You know, I'm just so thankful today. Today is just such an eye-opening day. It was just so much illumination, so much revelation going on, and I'm just really extremely excited about what the Father is doing, despite all of the challenges that the enemy thought to make available to us, and then even some of the challenges that the Father allowed. You know, sometimes parents are challenging their children to grow past another place, to grow past the place that they were in. And it's not a challenge that's supposed to hurt them. It's a challenge that's supposed to help them. And so when I'm talking about challenges, sometimes we have to actually realize that everything is not an adversarial challenge. Some things the Father's just stretching us. Some things he's just maturing us. You know, I use the example of the baby all the time, because when a parent lets go of the hands of that child, they're not letting go of them for them to hurt themselves. They're letting go of them because they have some level of confidence in their ability that allows them to say, you know what, I'm going to let your hands go because I want you to go ahead and fall just a couple of times, because I believe that in this hour you're recognizing by looking around and noticing where you should be and how you should be moving that this is the moment, this is your moment, this is your time for you to get your legs in movement and get your legs in motion and create a momentum and begin to start emulating the thing that you see in your environment. And I'm excited because I believe that's what the Father is actually doing for his sons in this hour. I don't think the enemy has a whole lot to do with so many of the challenges that we're facing right now. I think the Father's hand is all over it. I know one of my sons called me and was saying for me to come to his rescue. There were some things that he was dealing with, some things that he was walking through, and he said, I don't know what's going on. And I in my heart and in my head, I said, I do, because there's some things that I have prayed. There's some things that I've been saying as a result of what heaven has been speaking to me. And now the manifestation of that thing has arrived. It's arrived. So it's not a reason to get upset or been out of shape or even to be concerned. It's just it's an exciting time. It's a time to rejoice. The Bible declares this is the day that Yah has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. Because we recognize that he created the day, then we also understand what's on his mind concerning his sons, and we can rejoice no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, no matter what the image of the environment is, no matter what the image that's being portrayed is, or how we even perceive the image. Let me say that. Sometimes it's just how you're perceiving the image that's the big deal. You understand what I'm saying? So we've got to make sure that our perception is right, that we're seeing it the way the Father is saying it. And once we're seeing it the way that he's saying it, then we can begin to produce. We can begin to reproduce after that kind. And so I'm really excited. So I want you to just come on and dine around this living bread of Torah. Join us for this time of overflow as the manifesting sons are future is not in the ideas of the world culture, and that's what we got to get to. We were reading some of that yesterday. Our ideas, what we extrapolate as far as imagery, it doesn't come from the culture that we're living in, the environment that we're living in. It actually comes from the Father. It actually comes from him. It rather comes from the mind of Yah. It is by this bread that we are fed, and by his spirit we are led. So delay doesn't have the power to deny us. I keep saying that because I think it's so important. A lot of us have been dealing with some things for the last maybe 5 to 7 years. There's been some great challenge, and it seems to be increasingly challenging. I know in some other seasons the challenge may have been different, but I was able to produce. I was able to move about and do the thing that I do. It seemed like in this new season, in the season prior to this season, I should say, because I'm now in my next. I'm doing like the Canaanite woman. You know, I'm calling what's next into my now by the activity of my faith. But it just seemed like the thing was increasingly more challenging, and to the point where it was preventing me from actually doing the thing that I do, the things that I do, to function in the capacity that I function in. And I'm finding that I'm not the only one. That's the amazing thing. Whether male or female, whether believer or non-believer, it just seems that everybody's kind of facing the same challenges in this hour. And I believe that as a son, we should have a better perspective of what we're facing. The world may not understand what they're facing. They may not know the rock to go to. They may not know the information that they need to actually pull themselves up by the bootstraps and keep it moving. But as I was sharing yesterday on Facebook, you know, I just had to get this, and I had to get this thing in my spirit where I was just saying, you know what, I'm not going to be stopped. I'm not going to be detained. I'm not going to be delayed. I'm going to move forward in this thing that the Father has called me to. I'm going to begin to do the thing that he's called me to do. And, Father, we just thank you right now because you're opening our eyes and you're causing us to understand as sons what our rightful position is. You're causing us to understand as sons who we are. That's important. Our identity is everything. And because you have given such an awesome identity by breathing into the nostrils of man, the very breath of life, the very essence of who you are, Father, you have given us the blueprint. You breathed into man the blueprint. You literally breathed into us the blueprint for life. And so we want to just continue to live off of the reservoir of your breath that was from the beginning breathed into mankind. We're just living off the reservoir and all of the things that you're releasing now, all of the fresh moves, all of the fresh winds that you're blowing. But we're just living off of that breath that is perpetually just blowing in us to actually do the thing that you've called us to do, to actually become the thing that you've called us to become. And so we're excited about it. We are extremely excited about the call. We're extremely excited about us responding, having the ability to respond, the ability to respond to what you're saying. It is everything in this hour, and we're just excited. We are excited. I promise you, I had some things on my mind today, and I'm going to just read some of the notes that the Father had given me concerning this particular, and even Metzora, these particular parashats. And I just believe we're just in such an amazing time. We're in such an amazing time. I was headed up to a place today, and as I was kind of before I left the house, I was kind of showering and preparing myself to leave out of the house. And as I was standing in that shower and that water was falling on me, I began to declare some things. I began to decree some things. I began to see some things differently, and I began to say some things differently, and even begin to say more things, because one of the things that the Father began to speak to me some years ago was that the people of Yah are not saying. And if they are saying, they're not saying the right things. They are not saying enough, and they're not saying what he's saying. You know what I'm saying? So all of these things are factors, but as I was preparing myself to leave, and I began to talk to myself in that shower, and I began to declare some things concerning my life. The other day on the prayer line, on the prophetic intercessors line, we began to decree some things and to declare some things and begin to deal with the daggers that had been released concerning the people of Yah. This is so important, and I want to kind of just take a moment just to deal with those daggers that have been released into your life, those things that have pierced you, both mentally and physically. They pierced you, and a lot of people are carrying around some things that are literally making them weak in their bodies. It's literally making them sick. It's literally making them or putting them in a position of a weakened position where they're not able to make decisions as they should because their mind is so bogged down with these things. And you know, the thing about the mind is that you've got a conscious and a subconscious, and your subconscious is always doing some things. It's always at work, but what it's working on is the program that's been downloaded. I believe in this hour the Father is literally giving his apostles, his prophets, his hand, the fivefold gifting that he's left in the earth for the edifying of the body, for the building up of the saints, for the work of the ministry. I believe that he's given that hand of God, his hand in the earth, the ability. He's given them the ability to cancel assignments. He's literally given them the ability to move people into their next place. He's literally given them the ability to pull out these daggers, to do triage. He's literally given them the ability to begin to mend the wounds, to begin to declare some things and to speak some things into the lives of his people that will bring them back from the place where they needed resuscitation, bring them back from that place where their heart was not pumping properly, to bring them back from that place where they seem lifeless and listless, but to take the very mind of God and the very words of Yah and to release them into environments to literally pull his people out of their captivity. It's the same thing that Moshe did. And we're talking about Moshe, and we're dealing with him as he's journeying with these people right now as we're dealing in Leviticus. And it's just an amazing, amazing time that we live in. We're just living in amazing times. And so, Father, we just glorify you right now that you've given your sons the authority to remove the daggers. These daggers have literally, they've literally made amendments to your person. I need you to hear this. I hadn't planned on prophesying today, but I believe that, you know, whenever the Father is breathing a word, then it is prophetic in his nature anyway. So I teach from a prophetic place anyway. But I'm prophesying to you one-on-one. I'm prophesying to many of you that are listening from all over the world. You're hearing this, and you're hearing different things, but it's your answer. It's your word. It's the thing that the Father desires to get to you, to bring you from that place where you were listless and lifeless. I believe that the Father is literally taking those daggers out of his sons, because these words really came to stop you from becoming the person that he's called you to be. You know, I was thinking about some things the other day, and I literally, like I said, your subconscious is working on the program. What is that program? Whatever program has been fed it, whatever recording system is operating in it, it's simply dealing in the looping that's been given it in its recording sessions. And so what the Father has given his hand to do in the earth now is to override, to rewrite the program, to rewrite the recording. He doesn't have to rewrite it. He already wrote it, and some things got interrupted. Some things got mixed up and messed up. But what he's given his sons to do in this hour, his terraforming son, his manifesting sons to do, is to write over. You ever seen that? Well, if you're in the music business, you understand how you can write over something. You know, even if you're in a marketing or maybe you deal with desktop publishing or anything like that, you understand how something can be settled and saved. But if you have the authority, you can come in and write over it. You can literally come in and delete some things. I was typing some things in my phone the other day. No, I wasn't typing. I was speaking them. I was dictating them into my phone the other day. And as I was dictating them, it looked like my machine began to start deleting things that I already said. I cut that thing off because I had authority over that. I pressed done. I stopped that thing so that it would not continue to delete what I had already written. But then I had to go back in and begin to type again. But there's an override. There's a rewriting. There's an overwriting of some things in this hour that Father's given his sons to do, because literally we have dealt with these daggers. I was thinking about this the other day, and it's something that somebody that's really close to me said to me when I was a little girl. And I was standing in the kitchen, and I heard those words. And I knew then, you know, some of these things that have been coming up in my spirit over the last 2 years were just things that the Father wanted me to deal with. He wanted to address those areas so that there would be no issue, so that there would not be an issue. And so I'm declaring and decreeing to you today that the daggers that have been piercing you, those daggers that were sent to damage you, those daggers that were released into your physical person that have messed up your psyche, that have messed up your physicality, your health is deteriorating because of daggers that have been sent, words that were said, things that you've been dealing with that you've never really, you might have come to grips with some things, you might have dealt with some things and changed your course, but until that altar is torn down, until that Asherah pole is not any longer providing the mechanism for reproduction, then you're going to continue in those cycles. So I decree and declare to you now that Asherah pole is being destroyed, that altar is literally being destroyed in your life. And whoever built the altar means no, never mind, but you're the tearer down. You're tearing down the altar. We're tearing it down today, and you're going to begin to see these altars in the lives of your family, and you're going to begin to tear the altars down. You're going to begin to speak to the altar and address it prophetically, so that God of that altar, so that thing that's operating in the altar no longer has free course and it no longer can reproduce. I'm telling you right now, these daggers have to be pulled out. Now, it's funny. I was having this conversation with a business partner of mine today, and I was saying some things. And when I was saying these things, he began to say to me, he said, "Wait, sis, I hate to interrupt you." He said, "But that's it." And he began to declare some things himself. Now, I don't know him to be a believer, as we would say, not necessarily, but I've heard him express his belief in the Father, you know, but I've never really known him to be, you know, a kingdom citizen. I don't know any of that about him. He's not exhibited that level of anything to me, but he began to say, "That's it." He said, and I said some word. I don't remember what it was. I think I said, I said, "Break the barriers and just do it." We're breaking barriers and just getting it done. And that's actually what I did yesterday. I began to break barriers. I began to break barriers. As there were so many things that were standing in opposition to what I was believing I should have been doing in that moment. I said, if I'm not resting, I'm running. And when I got up and began to look for the things that would help me facilitate that run the way that I wanted to do it, which was put everything in my fanny pack and move out and go ahead and run and have my hands free, that didn't work. It didn't work out like that. But I could have sat there and complained about what I couldn't find. I could have sat there and just sat there and never accomplished the thing that I believe I was called to in that moment. And the Father began to declare to me, as I was declaring, I'm not going to be stopped. I'm not going to be prevented. I'm not going to any longer be delayed. I'm breaking the barriers, and I'm moving in it. I'm moving into it. I'm just doing it. You understand what I'm saying? And this is where we have to be. This is where we have to be. I'm excited. Forgive me. I am extra super duper excited. And so there are some things that are coming down the pipeline. I'm excited about our men's gathering is coming up. We've got everything, just about everything all set. We're still looking for those that want to connect and contribute. You can feel free to do that by typing the number, the money sign, the number one, and then Rock Mogul, M-O-G-U-L, Rock Mogul. The money sign, the number one, and Rock Mogul. All of those funds that are going to be used will be used to help us get done what we need to get done for the men that are from the homeless shelter. We're bringing them over. And so we're going to need to rent vans, and we're going to need to facilitate some things for them so that they have some of the things that the Father's given us to meet the need of. Definitely food for both of those days. We're going to send the food over there so that they can eat, and then we're going to definitely want to send them home with some things. So I'm excited about what the Father's doing. I really am extremely excited about what he's doing, and we're just going to go ahead and move into the thing that he's calling us into. We're not going to delay. We're not going to talk ourselves out of anything in this hour. We're going to say the right words, and we're going to move in the thing that we're saying. We're not just talking about it. We're going to be about it, all right? So we want to talk about Metzora, the leper, and Akremot, which is after the death. We're going to go over some of those things. But yesterday we read Akremot, which is after the death, and which comes from the first verse that's discussing the death of Aaron's two sons, the two priests, Hophni and Phinehas. And so that's what we were reading yesterday. And as I was considering that conversation and all of the spiritual downloads and transactions that happened yesterday, I heard so clearly what is one of the first things that happened after the death of someone. We didn't really get into this yesterday, but we're going to get into it now. What's one of the first things that happens after the death of someone? And the first thing that came to my mind was autopsy. So what is the purpose of an autopsy? We know that the autopsy is actually that examination for the purpose of identifying what caused the death. And so as I was writing all these things down, I begin to declare we live in a world where people just don't ask questions. That why question is so important. Why is what positions you to have understanding. Why that why question positions you to get clarity. That why question positions you for proper definition of things. And so the Bible declares things that were written before, or as the King James language says it, aforetime, was for our learning, or is for our learning. That's in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. That word learning there is didaskalia, and that is Greek 1319 in the Strong's Concordance. And that is the sole purpose of the writing, is for learning. That word learning is talking about instruction, the function, or the information of that instruction, either the information of the instruction or the function of the instruction. But you need both, because if you're hearing an instruction, you're going to need to heed the instruction. You know what I'm saying? And so because a lot of people don't ask why, then when we read stuff like Hophni and Phinehas, let's open it up. Let me go to it real quick. I want to pull it up really quickly. Give me 1 second. I'm going to pull it up. That's Leviticus chapter 16, starting at verse 1. Let's go there real quick, because I want to read it word for word. Let's read it word for word. Hallelujah. Leviticus. I'm all the way in Numbers. Help me, Holy Spirit. Okay. Leviticus. Chapter 16. All right. All right, 16. And Yah spake unto Moses, or Moshe, after the death of the two sons of Aaron. So he's speaking to Moses after the death of his nephews when they offered before Yah and died. Look at this dynamic here. When they offered before Yah and died. Now you're saying to yourself, well, they were offering something to the Father, so why would he kill them? Why would they die? Well, let's look at a couple of dynamics here. We've got the situation with David bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, and as they go, they've got all of the right people with them. They're doing all of the right things, supposedly. They're singing, they're worshiping, they're rejoicing, they're doing a bunch of things that seem like the right thing to do, but as they're bringing that thing away, first of all, they put it on a cart. Wrong move, because the priests are supposed to carry it. But they put it on a cart, and it's driven by two oxen. Well, Uzzah and his brother are kind of, you know, managing that whole movement, and when the cart looks like it's going to tip over, Uzzah reaches out, and he dies. Why? Because there are certain instructions. There are certain things that the Father has instructed. These are his loving instructions to his son. I love the way my brother says that. That's Apostle Lancer in Chicago. He said that, you know, people misunderstand the word law. The word law is not a negative thing. It's not some buzz killer. It's loving instructions of a father to his sons. You understand what I'm saying? He's given specific instructions on how a thing is to be done, and here they are doing something other than what's supposed to be done. Okay, so this is pretty similar to that, because now we've got these sons of Aaron who are priests themselves, and they are in the holy place. They are doing their own thing. They're offering incense. They have their censers. They have fire in their censers, and they're offering up a fragrance, and the Bible declares that this strange fire caused a fire to come out from Yah and kill them. Why? It says here, let's look at it. It says here that Moshe is being spoken to concerning his two nephews when they offered before Yah and died. And Yah said unto Moshe, speak unto Aaron thy brother that he come not at all times into the holy place. In other words, I've given a specific so we can really identify what really happened here. I've always questioned, you know, and no matter how many times I read it, because people have these preconceived notions, and because people preach a certain thing, then you're trying to tune out what you're hearing, because you really want to hear if that thing doesn't resonate with you in the spirit, then you really want to hear the truth of the matter. And I've not heard the truth of this matter for a long time, but the reality of the matter is they're in the holy place. They're in the holy place doing what they're doing. They're drunk. Because there's another passage that discusses that they're not to be drunk and come before him, that they're to hallow his name, that that's a diminishing of his name to come before him and not have proper functioning, operating in proper functioning. You understand what I'm saying? But it tells us right here what they did. It says that he tells Aaron that don't come at not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that you die not. In other words, he's giving them the information that they need to understand. This right here will kill you. Now, we were talking about this yesterday. And the whole fact that, you know, you don't just come into an appointment however or whatever time you want to come into. So this is what we need to understand. Yes, we can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain grace to help in the time of need. That's a given, that we've been allowed to come boldly into the throne room and to approach the Father and have conversation. That's every day, all day. But these appointed times are different. You can't just do an appointed time the way you want to. It's like going to the doctor. If they give you an appointment for 8 o'clock, you don't come at 12 and say, yeah, I felt like sleeping in, so I figured if I come at 12 noon, then everything would be good. And they're like, no, you have to reapply. You're going to have to reschedule your appointment because we got other things going on. That's not how this works. You understand what I'm saying? So this is what's important about that. He said, listen, you don't just waltz up in here at whatever time you want to accomplish the appointed thing that I've given you to do. Now, our conversations on a regular basis, that's different. You know, you could come to me anytime. I'm a father. You could come to me anytime and have conversation with me, but the appointment must be kept, and they must be kept the way that I've given them to you. So look at here. That whole piece about aforetime, that's, again, Romans 15:4. It's for our learning. It's for our instruction, the function or the information, both parts. This is why the Apostle Paul told Timothy, until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. That's in 1 Timothy 4:13. Why? Because this, the importance of this writing. You got to be able to learn something from the writing. So as we're even looking at these passages in Leviticus 16 to 18, as we're looking at this Torah, which is what he gave his children to identify who he is and who they are, as we're reading that, the Bible declares that Paul says to Timothy, his son in the ministry, until I come, give attendance. That means pay close attention. Attend to means, it actually means to spend time in. You know, to give emphatic time. I want to say intentional. This is an intentionality. This is not something that happens by happenstance. Oh, this is the Bible verse that the pastor's reading this Sunday, so that's what I'm reading. No, he said intentionally attend to reading. What is he reading? Whatever has been given to him to read. Definitely Torah, because he certainly didn't have 2 Timothy. He certainly didn't have Matthew at that time. So give attendance to the words of Yah. Give attendance to the law. Give attendance to his loving instructions to his sons. To exhortation. Well, exhortation is important because you got to be able to build yourself. David said, listen, I think myself happy. He said, listen, I encourage myself. You got to be able not to only encourage yourself, but you're going to give attention to exhorting yourself and then to exhorting others, to giving attention to being the exhortation, the encourager, of the pusher of other people. You hear what I'm saying? This is important that you know how you're supposed to position yourself. Now, this is funny because we were reading this yesterday, and it'll come back up again. I'm just kind of jumping ahead of myself right now. But even today in the conversation, I was having this conversation with my business partner, and I was saying, listen, this is what's important. We've got to understand as leaders that we've got to put the oxygen mask on first. We've got to be the first ones to wear it, because while everybody else is losing air, while everything else is going on for everybody else, we can't be such a leader that we don't protect ourselves so that we can help other people. We have to first be first partakers of everything that is available so that we can then feed the others. It's like with the mother bird. What does she do? She goes and gets the food. Do you think she doesn't eat when she's going to get food for her baby? She's going to get food, but she's going to eat while she's doing what she's doing. She's literally holding the thing in her mouth. You know, it's similar to how adults feed their children. You know, when I'm feeding my grandson, when I fed my children, I'm eating what they eat, and I'm tasting. I'm putting my mouth on to make sure it's not too hot when they're eating cooked food. You know, if it's hot cereal or whatever, I'm making sure it's not hot, so I got to taste it to make sure that it has enough of this and enough of that. You know, all of that matters. But taking care of yourself before you're able to be the cheerleader for somebody else, that's so important, and so many leaders miss that, particularly in spiritual things, I should say. Not all leaders miss that, because there's some worldly people who got that all the way together. They understand that they got to take care of themselves. That's why they go on vacation and spend some time, you know, in Aruba or somewhere where they don't have no cell phones and where they don't, you know, they're not giving attention to all of those things. They're giving attention solely to their well-being and to their happiness and to their peace in that moment, because all of that's necessary. It's the same thing that the master did. He was our example. He was our prototype. He was the one that came to show us how to live in the earth suit. And what he did was, even after he went through all of those processes with the people, with the multitude, and with the core, he would go off and be alone with him, with his father. Him and his father would be there, engaging in conversation, having fellowship, restoring himself in the presence of his father. You understand what I'm saying? So this is important. And it says to exhortation and to doctrine. What? That means what you understand, what you're hearing, what you know, the thing that you've been taught, all of this is important. I want to go to 1 Timothy real quick, 1 Timothy 4:13, because there are a couple more verses in there that I wanted to show you since we're there. A couple more verses that I was just reading and just being so blessed by. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. It's right after Thessalonians, if you're looking for it. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. It says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gifts. See, this is important. This is really important. You're going to give attention to these things. Give attention to reading. You know, these are things that you're going to need to do, to exhortation. These are things that you're going to need to function in, to doctrine. These are the things that are going to not only be a benefactor or beneficial to you, but beneficial to the people that are around you if you give attendance to these things, right? But then it says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. In other words, and this is so blessing me right now, because it's something I was talking about with one of my partners in some business things. You know, there have been seasons where we just kind of felt like, and he was expressing the same thing today, that even the people that are closest to you seem to be the people that hamper you the most, that hinder you the most. It's like they're the ones that are putting up the roadblocks and the barriers and saying, no, you can't do it that way. No, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. And then they say, I'm not trying to make you not do what you – no. You're in my way. I need to be able to do this because this is what sustains me. This is how I make my living. This is what I do. You understand what I'm saying? It says here – uh-oh, I lost my page. Hold on. I lost it. There we go. Let me go back to it. It says here, don't neglect the gift. See, only when we're giving attention to reading, only when we're giving attention to exhortation. See, that lends to that whole think on these things. What's on your mind? Because what you're reading is what's on your mind. What you're seeing with your eyes, what you are imagining, what ideas are coming to your head are a result, direct result of what you're feeding. And that oftentimes that's what you're reading. That's why the word is so important. He said here, he said here in verse 13, in verse 14, he said, don't neglect the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands, laying on of the hands. He said, listen, there are some things that have been given to you. There are some things that have been imparted to you, some things that have been released to you that you're not to neglect, that you've got to function in this. Don't allow anything to stop you from functioning in this place. And I believe that's where we are in this season. It's such an amazing time. We're in this time where we've got to begin to ask questions about why, because we got to identify why this death. Well, okay, so let me tie this in for you, because if you didn't get the pieces to the puzzle and see where I was going with this, let me tie it in for you. You know, all of those things that had come up against us, all of those things that had caused us delay, all of those things that seemed like they were denying us were deaths that we were experiencing. So now we need to question why the death. What is the death about? Because we need to do a spiritual autopsy on our lives. We need to do spiritual autopsy on the body of understanding so that we can get an understanding, a revelation of what's killing us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need to get a revelation of what's killing us. But that only happens if we do spiritual autopsy on the dead thing. Are you hearing me? We got to begin to do spiritual autopsy. And, you know, sometimes when you do an autopsy, you know, if you're personally doing the autopsy and you don't understand that your position in that moment is not to be, not to stand in as yourself, but to stand in as a legal representative that actually does that for a living, and the Holy Spirit's giving you what you need by the Spirit, you're not doing it on your own. You've been authorized to open this thing up. You've been authorized to identify. And see, that's an issue there, because a lot of times people that are moving in some things are unauthorized to move in those things. And so they're opening up things that they're not authorized to open up, and it's causing a problem. But when you've been authorized to view the dead thing that's still standing on its feet, that's a whole nother responsibility. You got to be able to look into this thing and identify what's killing me. I was saying this yesterday because it just became so alive to me yesterday. It just became such a realization to me yesterday, because I've been operating in some things without even thinking about it. Because when I said yes, I meant yes. And once you say yes to the Father and you begin to agree with his decree, then it's him that does the work in you. You're not having to force your way through somewhere. You're not having to push an issue. It's him that's doing the work. To both will and to do for his good pleasure. It's him that's doing the work. So after I said yes, I didn't go through a whole bunch of changes about different things, but this thing opened up to me yesterday that the moment that I began to operate from this place of Torah, that in that time, and I don't even remember the shift. I have to be quite honest with you. It's been some years now, at least 2 years, but I don't remember the shift. I don't remember I just don't remember. But I have not been doing Torah for very long. It's just been about 2 years that this has become very valuable to me. And in this thing, in this law, in his loving instructions to me becoming very valuable to me, it took me out of everything that could have possibly been an issue. It took me out of the way of those things that would be weights, that would be sins, that would easily beset me. You understand what I'm saying? So then the enemy tried to come up with a new thing. He tried to deal with the food thing because I had compromised so much in relationships. He's like, yeah, you know, well, you know, this is okay, and you can go ahead and make this adjustment and just make this compromise. But the Father called me to something very specific years ago, and he's not beating me up about it. He just caused my eyes to realize and to understand, my heart to understand what he called me to, and the result of me not staying in that place, the result of me being led away from that place is those extra 30 pounds, it might be 40 pounds, that extra 40 pounds that I gained. Now, it don't look like 40 pounds to everybody else, but because I live a certain lifestyle and because I do a certain thing, I feel it, I see it, I feel it. And that's what's important. So I'm getting back to myself. And I promise you in 2 weeks, I'm going to come back to you guys. I'm going to go find me a scale because I'm going to come back to you guys in 2 weeks and say all of the weight is gone. All of it's gone. The Holy Spirit was reminding me today, like I was saying, even when I was in the shower, where is that girl that could not be stopped? Where is she? He said, you remember when you were working for the Fortune 500 companies and they would call you, they would call the different agencies and ask for you specifically because they knew what you were working with, they understood your value, and they knew what you were bringing to the table? Where is that understanding of your value within yourself to understand how you're supposed to function on behalf of yourself, in your company, in your ministry, in all that you do? Because you're good at doing it for somebody else. You're good at making everybody else look good. But when will you make me look good? By doing what I told you to do. Come on. And as I was in the shower, I was beginning to talk to myself about some things and looking for that girl and identifying what pierced her, what made adjustments in her life, what watered her down, what diluted her, what prevents her from moving in this thing. And as I began to speak to myself, I got out of that shower, I got dressed, and I left out of the house. And before I knew it, I was at CVS picking up the tickets or picking up some photos, picking up my stuff. And I began to I was on the phone with Apostle Jeremy, my brother. Y'all familiar with Apostle Jeremy if you've been here any length of time. I was on the phone with him, and we were talking about the gathering, the men's gathering, which is in 2 weeks. And as I was giving him his assignment and reminding him of his assignment, as he asked me, what's the assignment, sis? What do you need me to do? And I'm telling him the assignment. I'm reminding him, and I'm sharing with him. And as I'm doing that, I began to go back. I began to see that girl again because all of a sudden I turned around. I looked at the man behind me, and I said, if I had tickets in my hand right now, you'd be got. And I looked at the guy behind me, and I began to all of a sudden just begin to talk. And he's hearing my conversation, and they're both agreeing with what I'm saying because I'm sharing some things with my brother over the phone that were impacting them. The environment. I wasn't trying to impact them. I wasn't trying to be heard in the environment. They were overhearing me. And in that moment, the Father opened them up to hear what I was saying. And then he opened them up, opened me up to begin to speak into them. And as I was speaking into them, it began a dialogue. And what it looked like was a domino effect because the man directly behind me got hit. And then the man behind him got hit. And then the man behind him got hit. And everybody's having a conversation. And so we spent maybe 8 to 10 more minutes in the store after we had all rung out and was exchanging information and, you know, just doing a bunch of talking and talking about business and just different things. And I was sharing some things and they were sharing some things. And it was just powerful. It was powerful. And when I got in the car, I said, I get it. I said, I see what the enemy's angle is. I see what he's been trying to do because I have not, it's not that I'm not communicative with you. I communicate all the time. I'm very friendly. I'm always talking to people. But today was different. Today was different, and it started with yesterday when I began to say, I'm not going to be distraught. I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to function in this place of disappointment. I'm going to get up and I'm going to move. And I began to say today, I'm going to break the barrier and go beyond. I'm going to break the barrier and just move. And as I said that to one of my partners in business, he began to say, that's it. He said, I hate to interrupt you, but that's the thing. You just said something, and it just opened me up, and I'm noticing that's the thing that a lot of people are saying in this hour. Oh, sis, wait a minute. You just said something, and it just shifted everything about me. He's allowing us to see who we are. He's allowing us to understand the dynamics and the dimensions of who we are so that we can begin to function in that place and never from a low place again, never from a compromised place again. And so even as I was standing in that line and that domino effect took place and I'm exchanging information with people, and this man was telling me, yeah, I got a couple men I want to bring, and yeah, I'm going to get tickets, and, you know, he's talking to me about his friend that has the transportation company, and just a whole lot, just a whole lot. But all of that was a result of me being led of the Father to release a thing in a moment, in just a moment. That he opened up the window, I walked straight through it. The moment that he opened up the door, I was right there in it. Why? Because I was giving attention to the reading. I was giving attention to the exhortation today. I was giving a different attention today to the doctrine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? These things were important. And I'm saying this to say this too, that once I began to deal in Torah on this level, once I began to make this a priority in my life, then the things that were would easily beset me, the things that would be weights, that would be sin that might easily beset me. And understand, I've never been the kind of person that was like, I'm just going to sin because I feel like it and this feels good to do, so I want to do this way. No, I always, because I know things a certain way and because I've been trained by the Holy Spirit a certain way to think of things a certain way, I had a specific content that a lot of people have abused over the years. That content in the wrong context is it does damage. Content has to be in its proper context. And so since I've been dealing in Torah, I've learned how to put that content. That was Holy Spirit given. It was Holy Spirit breathed. I've learned how to put that content in its proper context. And in putting it in its proper context, my life has not been the same. Yes, challenges have been greater on some things. But to keep me from being that girl that I saw in the store today, to keep me from being open like that, I'm going to share this with you because I thought it was so powerful. Because I got a word for the women. I got a word for the beautiful women because I'm a beautiful woman. I got a word for beautiful women because what do you do with your beauty? How do you move with the thing that the Father is giving you to possess? How do you handle this gift that's been given to you to be beautiful? This is one of the things that the Holy Spirit has always caused me to do, and I noticed it today, and it made me think about some things, and it made me remember some things, and this is why I'm mentioning it, because I'm in the store. You know, what do you do with being beautiful? What do you do with that kind of stuff? What do you do with the gifts that the Father's given you? How do you handle those things? How you handle those things is everything for how the Father would think you responsible enough to handle more. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible declares that to whom much is given, much is required, but it also declares that to the one that has, more will be given. Okay? But check this out. I'm in the store. You got to recognize what draws people, what to do with the draw that the Father's giving you. That's what I'm trying to say. I was trying to recapture it. You got to recognize what to do with the draw that the Father's giving you, whatever he's giving you to draw. People, whatever he's given you as that magnet that draws people to you, you got to know what to do with that draw. You got to know what to do with it. So, okay, so I'm a beautiful person, just like so many millions of women around the world, beautiful women, okay? And I'm in the store, and I see this guy when he gets out of the car with his family. He's got his woman is with him and his daughter. I see them when they get out of the car. I'm right across from them in the parking lot, you know, parked just kind of across the lot, you know, on the other side. And so I see them, they see me. They walk into the store, I walk into the store. I come in, she's going one way, he's going another. I kind of nod my head at her, she doesn't say anything, but then I see him at the other end that I'm going into, and so what I do is I divert my course, and I go down the aisle to go to where I'm going, which is at the other end of the aisle that he's on, but it's further down, so I divert my course and go to the other end. Why? Because I don't want to go in his vicinity. I see what's going on with him. I don't want to go into his vicinity and cause him to stumble. I don't want to mess him up, so I go down to the other end, and I go get what I'm going to get. I come back. And when I come back to the aisle that I'm coming to, he comes into that aisle. Okay, so I speak because I recognize he's dealing with something. So I'm going to speak to him. I'm not going to act like I don't see him. I spoke to him. I said, hey, how you doing? And I said, yeah, I'm looking for did you find yourself? Because I'm having a hard time looking for mine. I want you to see how simple it is, how the Holy Spirit will open up a window or a door or a gate for you to walk through to just bring somebody back into their rightful place. Listen to this. I say all that. He's excited. He's talking back, you know, and I say, yeah, I can't even find my stuff. I say, I probably don't need it anyway, so I'm not going to worry about it. Oh, that thing you got, I used to tear that up. Yeah, I don't eat that no more, but it's all good. And so even as I'm saying that, then I say to him next, hear this. I say, young man, you got a beautiful family. Hear this. Come on, I need you. Women, I need you to tune in. I need you to hear this. I need you to calibrate your ears because what do you do with what you've been given? How you handle what you've been given denotes the kind of person that you are. It denotes the kind of spirit that you're operating from. I said to him, you got a beautiful family. Why did I say that? First of all, I'm not looking for you. I don't want you, bro. I'm not even trying to be involved with you. Second of all, I see you got a little flesh issue. But what I want to do when I get you by myself, when I get you in this aisle and you get a good look at me, I want to look you into your eyes and say, man, you got a beautiful family. Because I want you to think for a minute. I want you to recognize that every beautiful woman ain't going to give you a nod back. Every beautiful woman ain't going to give you the eye. Every beautiful woman ain't going to wink or blow a kiss at you. Every beautiful woman not going to slip you a number. No, 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 no. Dude, I want you to recognize you have a beautiful family. In the moment that I'm giving with you in this aisle, by yourself, I want you to know from this beautiful woman that your family is beautiful. And you need to recognize that. You need to recognize that. So he was over at that point. He was done with where he was. He was over the place that he originated in. He was over it. I could see it. It was no longer on him. It's like that thing that he had on him. It was like a cloak. It was like a veil was lifted off of him. A whole coat was just taken off of him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What you do with what you're given is everything. And it is so imperative, because here, when you look at the death, after the death, when you look at the autopsy, right, you got to look into some things and look at what the enemy was attempting to do. Look into this thing and see what's killing you. See what's messing you up. See what's messing with you. What's preventing you. And when you look at that autopsy and the verdict comes back and the report is shown, then you read that report and you learn from it. You don't use it as a thing to beat yourself up, but you learn from it. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, I didn't finish reading 1 Timothy chapter 4. I got caught up. Forgive me. I got caught up. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's go back. I'm just having a good time today because we already did what we did yesterday. He said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. I was just explaining that to you, but this is the word saying this. Give yourself wholly. First of all, in order for you to give yourself wholly to something, it has to be your meditation. It has to be the thing that you're giving your attention. You can't give your attention can't be divided in 100 different ways, in 1,000 different directions. I know people right now today, and I love them dearly, but I've heard them talk about the compartmentalization that they do with things. And listen, you can have all kind of files and compartments and all that stuff, but the reality is there are specific things in specific seasons that you need to give whole attention to. You need to give yourself wholly to them. And the only way you're going to entirely be able to give yourself to a thing is if your meditation is proper. If you got a million things going on and you moving through a bunch of different files and you are moving through a bunch of these different compartments and trying to operate out all these compartments, you're going to miss some things and you're going to mess up. Because unless you are meditating on these specific things, you can't give yourself to them. You can only give yourself to the thing that you're meditating on. Oh, come on, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Spirit. Remember I told you that holy living is not an anomaly? That living holy is not an anomaly? You can only give yourself completely to the thing that you're meditating on. The reason why you're in sexual sin is because that's what you're meditating on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm going to bust up some devils today. We cast the devil out of the minds of the people right now. You're going to see and you're going to hear this word. You're going to see and you're going to hear this word. The reason why you are stuck in that place where you are fleshly and carnal, the reason why you're overeating is because that's what you're lending your meditation to. That's what's on your mind. That's what fasting is for, because it takes your mind off the food and puts your mind on the future. Some of y'all need to take your mind off of food. Some of y'all, right now, you need to be fasting. Right now, you need to be fasting. Hold on, y'all. All right, I had an emergency call there. Yeah, so this is where we are. This is where we are. Listen, I'm going to have to end the broadcast today. I know I don't want to do it either, but we'll come back tomorrow. I will definitely share everything that's in this book, everything that's on this, in these notes. I'm going to share it with you because I just believe it's so pertinent. But I promise you, the reason why you're dealing in the place that you're dealing in is because that's your meditation. We've got to begin to meditate on something else. Now, why did I want to talk about Metzora a little bit? Because Metzora was dealing with the leper still. And the reason why the leper had the leprosy was because of what was coming out of his mouth. We're going to deal with this tomorrow. I'm going to come back to you tomorrow around this time. We'll come back and we'll deal with this. I think we're about 33 days away from Pentecost. We'll talk about some more things tomorrow around this time, but I'm excited to be here with you. I'm going to be excited to be here with you tomorrow and share the rest of these notes, but I got to get out of here. Listen, don't forget that the men's gathering is coming up May 17th and 18th. If you need information for pay-per-view, let me know. If you're in the area and you're anywhere here near and you want to come and you don't know where the hotels are, any of that, find me on Facebook, Apostle Crystal Lee. Shoot me a message. My page is open. It's not closed. Or send me something here, or send it to rockmogulministries@gmail.com. rockmogulministries@gmail.com. Listen, I love you so much, and I need you to remember this. The body is not a me thing. It's a we thing, and that's why I got to get off of here, because I got to deal with some we's right now. Peace to you. Love you so much.